ending undergraduate tuition fees. How much would that cost?
Ending undergraduate tuition fees would cost... no, it's fine. I know this figure. It's just over £10 billion for the whole of the UK.
£10
billion? £10
billion. And what about Northern Ireland?
Northern Ireland, that's where we'll have to look at my figures. It works out at approximately, in a find-a-right figure, £225 million.
So £225 million is what you need to find to end tuition fees.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing that?
Well, one of our proposals for raising revenue is a wealth tax. We would charge a 2% tax on the richest 1% in our society. That would raise...
How do you define richest in Northern Ireland?
Well, it's the richest 1%, so it's...
Based on income and savings?
It's on assets. It's a wealth tax, so on what you own. So it roughly kicks in at those who have assets of over 1.5 million.
So some wealthy pensioners sitting on, they've got a lot of assets, but they're not cash rich. They're going to have to find cash all of a sudden, aren't they?
Well, we're talking about £1.5 million worth of property or other assets. And that does not include where there's, for example, still a mortgage on a property or anything like that. So we're talking about somebody who has that value of assets. I think for a lot of us, that's something we can only ever dream of. And what we're saying is a 2% tax on those assets.
But if they're not cash rich, they're going to have to sell their assets, aren't they?
Well, one of the things, as well as raising revenue, one of the intentions of this proposal is about redistributing wealth. We have that 1% own 25% of the wealth in the whole of the UK. So 1% own a quarter of the wealth. What we're saying is that's unfair, that's unequal. The evidence shows unequal societies actually perform more poorly, for example, in terms of educational underachievement, in terms of crime, in terms of health outcomes. So what we're saying is we're by redistributing wealth, we make a more equal society and actually it benefits us all.
So you then tuition fees to the cost of Northern Ireland of £225 million. But on top of that, you would reintroduce a student grant.
Yeah.
What would the student grant be?
So the point is, as well, with the wealth tax that we also receive money through borrowing a consequential. So anything, any extra spending proposals are matched by our revenue raising proposals.
How much would the student grant be?
The student grant would the overall cost to reintroduce the student grant would cost just short of £10 billion.
Which is another 200 odd million for Northern Ireland, presumably.
Yeah.
So that's another 200 million. Mm-hmm. So now we're up to 500 million. Half a billion.
And the cost of that is well within the money raised with the wealth tax.
So how much of a student grant is each student getting in Northern Ireland?
Now you've got me in a figure I don't have to memory. I think the idea is to cover what would the current student loan would be. So I think it's around, I think student loan's around 4,000 a year.
So don't like £4,000 to students, scrap their tuition fees, give them another £4,000. My goodness. Have you got a magic money tree in the back garden?
No, we don't have a magic money tree, but we've been upfront about which where we'd raise revenue. I've mentioned the wealth tax.
Is that the best use of money, though? When you look at where the health service are, waiting lists, schools, you're giving students another £4,000. Here you go, put that in your hand. And you're scrapping their tuition fees.
But we've also committed to spending £10 billion a year extra, or sorry, £10 billion extra on the health service with £2 billion a year thereafter, £10 billion the first year.
Well, we'll get round to that in a second, won't we?
So it's not a case of prioritising one or the other. What we're saying
is
by asking those who can afford to pay more, we can afford to invest in vital public services such as health, such as education, of which university education is a part. The other thing it's worth remembering with university education, it is worth investing in students because it is the skills of students that are needed to drive our economy. And what getting access to university education will do is ensure that those young people will contribute to our society through the tech system. We don't mind saying, on the one hand, if you do well at university, if you go on and get a good job, that you will pay more. but through taxation, not more. Through debt to the student loan company.
There's so much slush money around the Northern Ireland system that you're throwing more money at young people. So not only are you scrapping their tuition fees, not only are you handing them another £4,000, but you've gone further. You would introduce free bus travel for young people and students. Mm-hmm. Define a young person. What age would you get free bus travel up to?
Under 25 and to all full-time students.
Under 25-year-olds get free bus travel?
Under 25, yes, because we want to encourage people to stay in education. We want to, as well, many young people starting out in work
that
will
must
be
on your
wages.
List. How much is that costing us?
£765 million across the UK, £22 million in Northern
Ireland. There's another £22 million, so we've got £220 odd million. Scrap undergraduate tuition fees. We're throwing another 200 odd million at giving each student £4,000. Now we've got another 22 million for under 25s to get on a bus.
And we're saying how you'll pay for this, Stephen. And as we are a party that is committed to investing in our public services, we're a party that's committed to investing in our young people, but we're also a party who believes that the more you have, the more you should contribute in terms of taxation. We're being upfront about and saying, of course you have to pay for these things. And we're setting out how you would pay for
that under 25-year-old who may be working, maybe bringing in a salary. My goodness, you know, there might be a high-tech whiz kid, whatever, bringing in 30, 40, 50 grand a year, whatever they're bringing in. They would get free bus travel, would they?
And currently with the system where we give free bus travel to the over 60s, there could be people in that situation as well.
So what
it's about believing in the use of public transport. It's about believing in connectivity in our economy.
It's about really irritating the 30 and 40-year-olds at the moment who are maybe putting two kids through school. They're out working maybe one
and we'd
one
be spending
or,
more
or,
money on their child's education because I'm in that bracket. Maybe, I have two children in school and I wish the government would spend more on
education.
So
for the 30 and 40-year-olds out putting kids through school, they're out working, why don't they get free bus travel too?
We're starting at the rationale for the over 60s. The same rationale should apply to younger people. They're either not earning or in low incomes.
Or could be earning.
They could be earning.
And meanwhile,
same
what you're
60s.
Doing is the guy in the middle or woman in the middle is paying for all of this.
Well,
the 30-year-old's out working and they're paying for all of this. Like, you're not means testing. You're not saying, look, young people who are unemployed or young people who are under a certain income bracket, you're throwing more money out now. 22 million under 25-year-olds to get on a bus.
We've been through decades of means testing and all the evidence is that it's administratively cumbersome. People will try to cheat the system and it doesn't actually work. We believe in universal public services, just like we have with our health system. Nobody says, oh, well, you're earning over 60,000 a year. You should pay for your operation. We don't say that because we believe in universal public services. So whether it's health, whether it's education, it's about making it apply across the board, regardless of income. What we're saying is if you earn more, you pay more in taxes.
No, you're not.
Yes, we are saying if you earn...
You're not saying to a young person, if you earn more, you pay more. They're getting the freebies. They're getting £220 million in total from Northern Ireland for their free tuition fees. They're getting another £220 million for their free £4,000 in their hand. And now they're getting another £22 million to get on a bus, whether they've got a Merc sitting at the front door or a car.
Because we have a wealth tax. So if you happen to be a young whiz kid who set up a fantastic social media company or whatever
bracket.
It might be, well, then you're going to be charged more in terms of taxation.
No, you're not, because your taxation proposal is based on assets, £1.5 million
of assets.
Okay,
but we also have in our manifesto, which I know you know inside out, the proposal to abolish the upper threshold of national insurance. So at the minute, we all pay 12% national insurance up to £43,000, and anybody who earns more than that, it then reduces to 2%. So the current system says the more you earn, the less you pay as a proportion of your income. The Green Party is up front. The more you earn, the more you pay.
Why don't you load that on the 30s and 40-year-olds as well? Why don't you give the under 25s a free pass on that too?
Well, listen, I'm outside that
bracket.
What
must it be like to be 30 or 40 or 50 in this country?
Stephen,
because you get nothing free and you're paying for everybody. You're paying for the pensioners. Now you're paying for the young people. And if you're 30 or 40, 50, everything's being loaded onto you now.
This generation has been assessed as being the first generation, I think, since the Second World War that will be earning less will be less well off than its parents. So despite all the advances in technology, despite all the progress we've made as a society, our young people are now worse off than their parents. As a parent, that's not your favourite term. That's not the direction of travel I want to see for this society. I want better for my children. What the Conservatives are asking, what the Tory government has delivered, is worse. Our children are now worse off than we were, and that's a disgrace.
What might be a driver for the economy in Northern Ireland, corporation tax being cut to 12.5%, well, you would blow that out of the water. You would increase it to 30% for larger companies.
And that's across the UK. You would put it up. Because we've never devolved it. Yes, it's for larger companies. It's bringing it up to the same level of Germany. What we have seen with the Republic of Ireland's move to reduce their corporation taxes, a race to the bottom, and the only people who win in the race to the bottom are the companies. We all lose out as a society because we get less in
the
tax
take, win
and we get
are
less
those people that want
for
to
our public
employment.
Services, and we get less for our education system, we get less
but
for our health
loads
system.
Of money what sweeping we're, around,
what
Stephen.
What we're saying is we should be taxing those who can afford to pay more. That includes corporations. Larger corporations that have a revenue of more than 25 million a year should be paying more and should be contributing, because so, they will demand the skills. You've had debates in this programme where you've had business people come on saying, we don't have the skills, that's why we're importing labour. What we're saying is we would invest in our young people so that those businesses have the skills. And actually,
you might invest in all of those young people and throw the freebies at them, but are they going to have any employment in Northern Ireland when they look to want to work for some of the biggest companies in the world? And part of what Northern Ireland's trying to do in reducing corporation tax is attract those companies into Northern Ireland. Why on earth would a big brand come to Northern Ireland on your 30% corporation tax if they can go across to the south and get it for 12.5%?
Two points on that, Stephen. One, when PwC did research on why companies come to Northern Ireland, corporation tax came 16th. On their list of priorities. The things that matter to these companies are, do we have the skills? They're looking to bring their own workers here as well. Do we have the health service? Do we have the education system? Do we have the public services? Do their directors or whoever it might be coming to set this company up, do they want to live in Northern Ireland? So if we don't have a society that people don't want to live in, we won't have a society where people want to invest in. What we're saying is we want to make a better society. That's what will attract people. And if we have the young people with the skills, that's what will give us the edge on other countries.
So
what we don't want is a race
on.
To the bottom.
Okay. Has the Green Party been able to do any type of assessment as to how much business you think we would lose in Northern Ireland if corporation tax goes up to 30%?
I've just said that it's 16th in the list of a company's priorities. So I don't imagine...
16th in the list with the current rate of corporation tax. You would put that up significantly. Has there been any type of assessment or planning as to how much business we would lose?
Germany is one of the strongest economies in the world and they have a corporation tax rate of 30%. I think the evidence shows, again, whilst of course if you ask a company do they want a reduction in corporate tax rate, of course they'll say yes. But if you ask them what would you rather have, and these are the choices we have to make as politicians, would you rather we invest in our young people or would you rather get a tax break? They would rather the investment in skills in our young people so that they have the workers needed to make their company.
So the answer to my question is no. You haven't done any assessment as to how much business
The answer is yes. We've looked at the situation across the world and we've looked at companies like Germany and they've shown that a strong economy is based on skills, not on low tax rates.
Two more questions. You want to ban food waste being sent to landfill. Mm-hmm. How on earth do you do that?
Well, it's been done in France. The idea is that you have to first offer it, for example, to the likes of food banks and other charities that are distributing food to the most vulnerable in our society. Again, we've seen under the Tory government.
Hold on a minute. If I've got a chicken carcass on my dinner plate from KFC, which I haven't finished, you're not going to give that to a charity.
No. We're talking about food waste from supermarkets. We're not talking about...
That's not what it says, is it? Well, it says ban food waste being sent to landfill.
Well, We don't send food waste to landfill, thankfully, anymore, because councils have already effectively banned that. Councils won't collect food waste from a black bin. Certainly that's the case in Ards and North Down, I know, in Belfast. I'm not sure for every council, but that's...
So it's an unnecessary policy then? We don't need to ban it?
No, this is about supermarket food waste, if it hasn't been spelled out correctly. Right. But I'm here to answer your question. It's spelled out correctly now.
Okay.
It's about supermarkets throwing out perfectly edible food whilst other people are queuing up in food banks. The general public, the listeners, are going into supermarkets donating to food banks, and the same supermarket that they just bought that food from is throwing food in the bin.
How would you legally ban that if legally they own it?
Well, it
how
it
can
has,
you force
it
someone has, that owns that property?
It has been done in France, and there's no reason why it can't be done here. And the idea is that it has to be first offered to food banks. Now, some supermarkets do it voluntarily, not all. And so the idea is that you have to at least first offer that out to local charities, such as food banks, to ensure that, as I say, you're not going into the supermarket buying from that supermarket to donate to a food bank at the same time that supermarket's throwing out food.
Some people may agree with you.
I hope so.
Here's another policy. You would subsidise ferry journeys between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, encouraging more people to switch from aeroplane to boat. My goodness. The airline industry's going to love you.
Well,
you don't think Belfast City Airport, Belfast International Airport, Derry Airport, you don't think they contribute to our economy and the jobs that they provide? Now you're going to discriminate against them?
Of course they do, but what we have is the iniquity whereby, again, if you take a car journey, you pay for your petrol and you pay tax on that, whereas the aviation industry pays no tax on fuel. So what we're saying is we would tax aviation fuel and we'd use that money to subsidise ferry journeys, because it's in a world where we have a UK Climate Act, where we've signed up to the Paris Agreement, where we accept or at least most of us do anyway, that climate change is the single biggest threat facing our society. It's a bizarre situation whereby then we actually subsidise air travel by not taxing the fuel, and what we're proposing is to shift that subsidy from aviation to ferry travel.
So you want all tourists to come to Northern Ireland on a boat?
We're not saying that. What we're saying is that the aviation industry has to be treated like the rest of us and pay tax on its fuel consumption.
So for these tourists that are deciding where to go, where to fly to, where to bring their currency to, you're disincentivising them from flying into Northern Ireland?
Well, firstly, in Northern Ireland, if we look at this as a cold, hard economic basis, more people fly out of Northern Ireland than fly in terms of...
Well, you're going to make that worse.
Their outward journey. Well, what I'm saying is actually it would keep more money in our economy.
Hi.
But the point of the proposal is, for example, it will push airlines to be more fuel efficient. It will force them to look at their fuel consumption, but it will also mean that they
can
contribute.
How can it encourage them to be more fuel efficient? You don't think they're trying to be as fuel efficient as possible at the moment? Because that affects their bottom line. The tourist board is going to love you, aren't they? Fly to Northern Ireland and we'll tax you more.
What we're saying is, Steve, we're facing climate change, the single biggest threat to life, to how we live, and we have to take actions to combat that. And one of the actions we can take, we can ask airlines, like you do, like I do, like farmers do, like everybody else in our society does, we all pay tax on our fuel, and we're saying the aviation industry should no longer... We're talking about a subsidy of...
There's your costing sheet again.
Yep. Exactly. You always complain there's no costings. I've loads of them. The aviation industry is being subsidised £125 million per year by our government and being exempt from fuel duty. That's across the UK. So what we're saying is that is unfair and it does not make sense given the threat of climate change.
So Stormont, the government here, they've subsidised actually some routes into Northern Ireland, haven't they? Air routes to try to encourage people to come from wherever it was, New York, I believe, to Northern Ireland. You would scrap that, would you?
Well, that flight's gone, so it is scrapped. So even though we had a race to the bottom, even though we said, oh, again, the Republic of Ireland has slashed its tax rate, we'll do the same, the flight still said, no, they didn't want to come here. And Simon Hamilton, I recall, without consulting the executive, was ready to spend £9 million to subsidise another flight.
I believe he's in the building. Careful.
Well, I'd be happy to talk to him. I don't think that's the format for this programme. But so there was a scenario where we were going to give an extra £9 million subsidy to an airline, to a flight that was already profitable. £9 million subsidy to a profitable route. That does not make sense. That is giving the public's money away. And that, to me, would not have been a good use of public money. As it turned out, it blew up in his face because it didn't happen anyway.
Final question. There's always an easy one at the end. Why should people vote for your party?
You should vote for the Green Party because we're about putting people first. We're about, as I've said in this interview, investing in our young people, investing in our public services. And we're about saying that it should be you, not Theresa May, who has the say on the final Brexit deal.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.